D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will be along later this hour, I believe. He is with the Nashville Predators in Raleigh, North Carolina. Predators versus Hurricanes tonight. 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame. Right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. During the break, Derek, you were showing me video, I believe it was taken by Jim yes. Wyatt, of Cam Ward interacting with Titans brass at some point during the pro day. There was a part where Cam Ward and Brian Callahan dapped it up, but then you thought something else was funny in this footage.
It wasn't the Callahan and Ward sort of dapping and hugging it up. Because that's like, boom, okay, yeah, we cool, we good, I know you, like, we hang out, boom, or we will be hanging out, boom, all right, nice seeing you. And then it's this other guy that comes in with a backpack, and he tries to give the same greeting, but Cam ain't quite feeling it. So he's like that friend that you really didn't hang around at all, you knew him. But now all of a sudden he want to show up and be around and act like we know each other. It's like, oh, you almost got me. Like, all right, you good. Like, and then you ask Brian, why is he here? He was that guy. It was just an awkward exchange between the two. And it made me laugh. So, because I've seen that happen before. I've done it before.
It's the side hug.
Yeah.
Side hugs are the worst. If you get a side hug, you know you are friend zone.
But it's a side hug with the dap and trying to bring the hands close to the chest.
Yes.
He tried to bring the hands close to the chest, but Cam wasn't feeling it. And Cam just tapped him on his shoulder or something.
It's like he's just like, all right, good.
But he was looking and talking to everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it looked. That was the perception that I got. I'm not saying that that's what it is.
We're not talking like Jared did at the Mike Borgonzi news conference, where he was putting the Mike Borgonzi, Brian Callahan bro hug. He was entering it into evidence, like the Zapruder film. Like, these guys have never met each other. Look how awkward that hug was. Mm-mm. We're not doing that. But I look, those sorts of interactions, you've got to be on your game. One missed connection, that dap is going to look bad. So I get it. I absolutely get it. But Cam Ward was throwing in front of basically everybody of importance with the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Brian Callahan was there. Mike Borgonzi was there. Chad Brinker was there. Nick Holes was there. Bo Hardegree was there. Reggie McKenzie was there. Dave Ziegler was there. AJ Highsmith, the director of scouting, was there. They were all there. They took Cam Ward out to dinner the night before. They all saw him throw. And there was a moment during the pro day where Cam Ward made a throw. And he was running toward the sideline where Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi were standing. Mm-hmm. And he said something to them. So after the workout, Cam Ward did an interview with NFL Network. And they asked him, what did you say to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi? This was Cam Ward's response.
The throw that you did on the roll, on the run, where you hit a dime, and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi, and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you say to
him? I said, I'm solidifying it today.
And you solidified it today.
Locking so, it up.
They heard you? They laughed
I made
bit.
Sure they heard me.
So I guess off that tip, the Titans obviously have the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. They like you. They've had you in the building. What did you want to show them today?
I said not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm. Whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, gun five with movement outside the pocket. Just showing them all, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season. Letting them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
That was Cam Ward saying, I'm solidifying it today.
Well, I mean, that's what you – You know, that's what you set out to do in these settings where it may be a tad bit, you may not be the consensus. You may be hearing, you know, sort of the chatter that is out there about you. And what you want to do as a player, because, listen, you only get so many of these auditions. Your main audition was your film. That was probably half of it, of your audition. What did you do while you were in college? And did you elevate your team and your teammates? Well, we saw that. He did on just about every level. So now, you know, it's him coming in and, you know, you've seen some of the things that, you know, that you saw on film and some of the throws that he made. And he was just expressing, you know, to the Titans, hey, listen, and that's the confidence that you got to have as well. It's like, listen, I'm standing on business. I'm solidifying it today in regards to the on-field stuff. After this, you ain't going to have no more questions about whether I can make level throws and all this other stuff. There's no more questions. I solidified that part. Now, I'm not even worried about the classroom part because I'm going to get that down. That's what they've been raving about him. And I know Crystal Ball is selling his program. I get it. But we've seen coaches that wasn't so glowing about their potential first-round pick. You know, we can go back to what it said, Lou Holtz say about the big defensive end. Was it Lou Holtz? Yeah. That said about the kid that got drafted number one overall.
When was that?
Out of South Carolina.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, Jadeveon Clowney.
How could we forget Jadeveon Clowney?
Absolutely. He said some disparaging things, if I can remember, about Jadeveon Clowney. You know, so there are things that are going to be said, but I solidified it on the field. You see it. There shouldn't be any ambiguity about in regards to what I can do on the field. I've pretty much aced it in the classroom, and we can keep talking if you want to. It's just going to get better. So he's confident in himself. He reminds me of Baker Mayfield, and I know we had this same talk last week. He reminds me more of Baker Mayfield than anybody else. He just has that. He has that attitude and that confidence about himself. The way the passes come off of his arm, it's like he's having fun out there. It's like he's throwing the ball with fun, with excitement. That's why I love Baker Mayfield so much when he came out of college.
So just a quick correction. It was Jadeveon Clowney. You were looking for Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, Steve Spurrier.
Not Lou Holtz.
Yeah, not Lou Holtz. It was Steve Spurrier. I was thinking Spurrier did it to somebody in Florida, but it wasn't Florida. It was South Carolina.
So this is – it's crazy to go back and look at this. This is what Steve Spurrier said about Jadeveon Clowney's work ethic. Quote, he was okay. It wasn't like Marcus Lattimore, you know. Every player is a little different. His work habits are pretty good. They're not quite like Lattimore, maybe Stephon Gilmore, Melvin Ingram, some of those guys. But when the ball is snapped, he's got something no one else has. So clearly, talent was off the charts.
Yeah.
But Steve Spurrier said work ethic, meh.
Meh.
And did that manifest itself at the NFL level, you think?
He never, again, like he said, he never reached his true potential. Because you saw flashes. And that's why he kept getting jobs.
Yes.
He kept getting the big paycheck. Why?
Like he did in Nashville.
Exactly. Because you don't see too many 6'6", 6'7", guys moving the way he did and just could dominate. He was Myles Garrett if he decided to play every game. In every play. He would have been Myles Garrett before Myles Garrett.
He's dining out on that one hit he had.
Exactly.
In college.
And the head coach said, "Yeah." Anytime
work ethic could be a work
anytime
ethic could be
a
better.
Head coach answers with, "Yeah, work ethic could be better."
That's basically what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
run
exactly.
away.
Yeah,
we absolutely. Hear that
absolutely. So, listen, stuff like that is going to happen. So when Crystal Ball speaks about
Cam Ward,
I mean, he speaks, and again, I get it. He's biased in a sense, But I don't think he would go out on a limb and, you know, to that degree and hype him up that much. Like, and it's not just the on-field talent, because you saw that he was a champion of Cam Ward off the field with his players, how he conducted himself through the building, whether win or loss. He was just a consummate pro. Not all quarterbacks are built like that.
We're going to play that clip from Mario Cristobal again, Miami's head football coach. This was Cristobal on NFL Network talking about Cam Ward.
Out of him, if NFL coach, a Titans coach or a Giants coach or someone like that came up to you and Mario and said, why should we draft Cam Ward with a top overall pick, what would you tell them?
Well, first I'd ask them if they've watched film at all this year, because if they have, I think it would make things a little bit easier. But I would be completely honest and transparent. You know, he's one of one, you know, and not only as a player, as a person. And again, to watch him on a daily basis attack the processes of being a true professional at the position, attack the processes of being an elite teammate and competitor. I mean, I'm talking about every single practice, every rep. There are no wasted downs or no wasted opportunities. And then the other side, the human side, the connection side, he has just an uncommon ability to bring the best out of people and just change things. So he, I mean, it's been an unbelievable journey with him. You know, you always wish it's more than 1 year, but we can't wait. We can't wait to watch him play on Sundays.
That was Mario Cristobal on NFL Network talking
about
Cam Ward.
Yeah, so, and again, I know he, there tends to be bias because you're
right.
With the individual every day.
He's selling Cam
exactly.
Ward.
Exactly. But also, listen, if the guys don't display, you know, some of these things that you're talking about, it's your reputation on the line, you know? Because I don't want to utter something and then you go, like Tim said, you go to the equipment staff or you go to the medical team or, you know, somebody else and they give you a whole different story. Then you're like, whoa, coach, let me double back on what you said. Because what I'm hearing from everybody else is something different than what you're saying. Even the players are saying something different, or they hesitate. I think Cristobal is telling you what everybody else would tell you that is close to Cam, that this is him. He's shown professionalism the minute he stepped on campus. He's taken his program, that 1 year, he's taken his program, and he put a stamp on it. He put his stamp on it. So much so he was runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. How many of those have the Hurricanes had within the last 10 years? Not many, if at all. And this is a team that routinely had top players year in and year out. So when Cristobal talks about Cam Ward in that manner, I think, like you said, he's genuine. And that's what you want to hear, not just from him, but to everybody else that you speak with.
We do have some, I guess you can call it breaking news. Mm-hmm. From Adam Schefter from about 10 minutes ago. Quote, ESPN sources, : Tennessee will hold an additional private workout with potential number one overall pick Cam Ward. Not a surprise. The Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward, and while they are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package.
They are doing the right
thing. To acquire the draft's top selection.
They are doing the right thing. That's why when we had this discussion with Willie, it was like, hey, I would let everybody know. If that's your guy, that's your guy. You know what that does? If somebody else wants him that bad, it ups the price. So, and then on what Tim said earlier, he's right, the scripted part. Now he will come and have a workout where it's not scripted. He's going to make throws that they're asking him to make into receivers that, I don't know how they can do this, but I think they can have some receivers that may be on practice squad or something like that. I'm not sure how the rules work itself out in regards to that. But you won't have a guy that you've been throwing the ball to all year. You won't have that guy, more than likely.
By the way, some Titans adjacent, I combined the two words, Titans adjacent news. Chidobe Awuzie has signed with the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey,
what's with this Tennessee to Baltimore pipeline, dude? What's going on here? It's been going on for years.
This is what happens, man. I'm telling you.
Now DeAndre Hopkins is there.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is there. Of course, you were there. Steve was there.
You know, this is what it is, I'm telling you.
I mean, Baltimore is just a great city. I don't know.
But this is what it is.
I am rewatching The Wire.
Baltimore, at least, and it started, with Samari and I. Baltimore has this way of still knowing that you got dog in you. No, seriously. At certain positions, they know if you still got dog in you or not. I'm going to go down the line with the majority of the guys that they went after, whether it was Samari. Yeah, he continued to have a good career until the injury.
You.
Myself, Steve McNair. You look at what Derrick Henry did last
year. Steve Smith. Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney, he was here.
Kyle Van Noy.
Guys, they find a way to know that you still got at least in between 2 to 6 more good dog years in you. we going to get it out of you, and we're going to enhance it. Because you look at all, and those, it's almost like a, remember when we used to talk about, when college coaches sort of falter or they're on the brink and they have to go to, Nick Saban Academy to rehash their image or to get more of that in them.
Yes.
Baltimore is that for Tennessee players and some other players. Like, they going to bring you in when Tennessee thinks you're done. They're going to say, nah, I see it. You still got some dog in you. Come on over here, and we're going to enhance it. And they do. It happens.
We'll see. Because remember, DeAndre Hopkins lost his love of the game in Tennessee.
Exactly.
Went to Kansas City for half a season. Now he's in Baltimore. So we'll see if that, what should we call it, this dog resuscitation
and
plant.
The Titans need to become that. They need to keep guys longer and realize that dog is still in them. And as long as he can sniff and bite, he's going to come after you. You play in and play out.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Cam Ward. Adam Schefter reporting that the Titans will hold an additional private workout with Cam Ward. Not a surprise. Adam Schefter also says the Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward, and while they are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. We had a great time out at Boomba's late last week. Just in time for the NCAA tournament, score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in East Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Cam Ward. Trey has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, my guys.
How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I wanted to say that, I don't really trust what the media says about Cam Ward. Okay, I understand that he's good, and he was put in a position to actually, go through the drills. But what quarterback in that position wouldn't be able to go through those drills? If you take Vanderbilt quarterback and put him in the same situation, who would be better in those drills? Okay, that's one point. Another point, all I want to ask y'all from the bottom of y'all heart, Derek, do we take him? Adam, do we take him? And will the Titans benefit from us taking him when we have other things that we have to do to improve the team? Thank y'all. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Trey. So Trey's point is sort of what we were talking about with Tim Hasselbeck. The scripted nature of a pro day. What was the line that Tim used? If you have all of the answers to the test, mm-hmm. you're going to do well.
Yeah.
So that's what Trey is saying as well. Cam Ward, to use Tim's words, had the answers to the test. So as long as he just kept it simple, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, he was going to do fine, which it looked like he did. The other question, do the Titans take him? We just read the report from Adam Schefter that it will take an even bigger offer than maybe originally thought to coax the number one pick away from the Titans. Mm-hmm. The actual words from Adam Schefter. While they are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it would now take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. I was listening to Robbie and Joe this morning. I think this is what they said. Mm-hmm. When you have as many people as the Titans did at Cam Ward's pro day, mm-hmm. I feel like you are not sending all of those people if you aren't sure that this is your guy.
You want to make sure that you're right. You want to make sure that everyone that's anyone that has anything to do with drafting Cam Ward, like that is going to be in that room, you need to be on this plane with us, and you need to be going down to Miami.
Let's just go over 1 minute. Mm-hmm. The people who were there mm-hmm. from the Titans, Chad Brinker, definitely. The supreme ruler of football, uh-huh. Mike Borgonzi, uh-huh. the GM, Brian Callahan, mm-hmm. the coach,
yes.
Nick Holes, the offensive coordinator,
yes.
Bo Hardigree, mm-hmm. the quarterback's coach,
yes.
football advisor, Reggie McKenzie, mm-hmm. Dave Ziegler, who I believe is assistant GM, and director of scouting, A.J. Highsmith. They were all there. And Jim Wyatt. Don't forget, Jim Wyatt was there too. That's also very important. But all of those people would not have been there if they weren't sure that this was their guy. At least that's how I take it.
Again, they want to make sure, like I said, and I've said this before, that there needs to be a consensus. Those people that you just talked about, after this evaluation, or as we're drawing closer to the end, those people that were there, everybody needs to be on the same plane in regards to we're drafting this guy. Everybody, because we all were there. We've all watched the film. We've all grinded the tape. We've all did the interviews one way or another. We've all talked to people or were there while those questions were being asked. We all were there. So now that we all are here, now as we get closer to drafting him, we all need to be on the same page, all of us, because this draft, like the Steve McNair draft, is going to set our franchise up for years to come. I'm going to repeat that. This draft, like the Steve McNair draft, will set us up for years to come. Because now we will have our quarterback. We've added some players around him. We're going to continue to add explosive individuals. We're opening up a window here. So we need to all be on board with drafting him. That's why they all were there. Now, to Trey's, you know, if you put Vandy's quarterback in that situation, no, he wouldn't do well. I'm telling you that right now. He wouldn't. If you just, from what I seen last year, you throw him in now, he wouldn't do well in that
right.
situation.
We're not disparaging exactly. Diego Pavia
right.
here.
I'm not disparaging Diego Pavia.
But Diego yeah. Pavia and
his
Cam
arm
Ward.
Talent are planets away.
Yes.
When it comes to arm talent, they are planets away. But Pavia is a hell of a competitor. He's going to win you some games. And we saw it this year. You know 100% he's going to gut it out. You know that about him, which makes him better than what his measurables say. But anyway, I think Cam Ward, what you want to see in him, I think what the Titans. Now, you're saying, well, you get the answers to the test. Yeah, but sometimes even when you get the answers to the test, you don't want to ace the whole thing, or you don't ace the whole thing, or you don't remember, you know, all of the answers if it's a 100-word test.
Who among us hasn't cheated on the test?
Exactly.
If you raise your hand, if you're listening to this and you raise your hand saying, I've never cheated on the test, you're lying. We've all done it.
And you can't get it right 100% because even with that, you got professors walking around, this and that. You may not. It's just a whole different thing in regards to cheating. I wasn't an ace at cheating. Now, I'm not going to say I plead the fifth. Let's just say that. I plead the fifth.
The best cheaters always get one or two answers wrong. Not from experience. I don't know this from experience. I'm just saying.
To quote, I think this is, I don't know if this quote is attributed to this particular person, but I associate it with this person. To quote the late Eddie Guerrero, professional wrestler, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
There you go.
That's all I have to say. I used to cheat in elementary school. We took keyboard class. So we had to learn how to type on the keyboards. You had to set your hands right, and you had to write without looking. When the teacher was turned the other way, I lifted the piece of paper that was over my head and was just hunted and pecking. So it looked like my word processing count was much faster than it actually was.
Hey, we all.
And did I retain any of that knowledge? No, because I still type with one finger on each hand.
Well, I still do that too. So, and I took computer classes. But anyway. But listen, I get it to Trey, you know, him getting the answers to the test. I understand that. But my thing is, when I turn on the tape and when I interview him, what do I see and what do I hear? And not just interviewing him, but interviewing people that are in some way, shape, form associated to the program. And maybe some that are not, but just know. Those are the things that I'm more, you know, worried about when I go to his pro day. I seen on film what I need to see. Now I'm at a level where I can feel it. I can feel a snap out of his hands. I can feel that, phew, that ball being thrown through the wind. I could feel all of that. And like I say, even with the ones that he got to loft up and put a little air on, I hear it and I feel it real time, you know. And I hear it and I feel him and I can touch him real time. So there is benefit to all of that. Now, the question was asked, would I take him? Based upon what I've seen up until now and on film, I wouldn't.
You would,
would not take him. I wouldn't not take him. Is that grammatically correct?
It's a double negative.
Yeah, double negative.
So, but finish your thought.
I would take him, basically. I wouldn't, if somebody offered me like the moon, okay, I'd take it.
So I think,
but if somebody's not offering me the moon, then I'm drafting him.
So what you're saying is, if that offer, that heftier package. I don't like that. I was about to say heftier package. I don't like that. Can we cut that? No, we're live? Oh, crap. Anyway, that trade package.
Yes.
That Adam Schefter is referring to. If what you're saying is, if that is not there, if the Giants or the Browns or whichever other team doesn't offer the world for Cam Ward, you would be comfortable taking Cam Ward.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what you were trying to
say.
Yes. That, like, you don't love him enough that if the Browns said, we want him so badly and we want to move up one spot to take him, that we will give you our first round pick next year to move up one spot. You don't love Cam Ward enough that you would say no to that.
I don't love the pick enough. Just the actual pick
having
enough,
the number one.
Yeah. To just move down one spot. Or two spots, and you're giving me this year's number one and next year's number one, and there has to be something else thrown in there because it would be. I'm not saying what that it would be is, but just like, I don't know what that it is, but it is. He has it. But it would have to be something in that ballpark. This year's number one, which would ultimately end up probably being a third pick in the draft somewhere around, or the second pick, and next year's number one and some stuff after that. I don't love the pick that much that I wouldn't move off of it. It's not. It has nothing to do with Cam. Then at that point, it has nothing to do with Cam.
Okay. 615-737-1025. There was one text in here that I want to find because it cuts to the heart of the matter that I wanted to discuss coming up next. And of course, anytime you look for a text, you always lose it. Someone said, Lenny on the text line said, Cam Ward has too squeaky of a voice to be a great quarterback. All right, I'd like to see a correlation between pitch and
have you listened to Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes, Kermit the Frog sounding dude.
He hadn't listened to Patrick Mahomes then. I mean, goodness.
Yes. I'm looking for.
He's
can't
not
find
the poster boy for deep voices. Tell you that.
No. Okay, here it is. I found it. I did find this text from an unnamed texter. So I mentioned why I thought the Titans are set on this pick because everybody and their mother was out this pro day. One texter texted and then said, good. If they are all there, then we fire them all when it's the wrong pick. And this gets to the heart of the matter. We started having this discussion yesterday, and it led to some good reaction, and I want to continue it today. But just keep that text in mind. Good. If they are all there, then we fire them all when it's when it's the wrong pick. 615-737-1025. Tune in later tonight to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Eastern Kentucky. Pregame begins at 5:45 and first pitch is at 6. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3. The game, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick presented to you by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. All right. So I just read a text before the break from one texter. I was talking about the contingent of Titans personnel people that was at Cam Ward's pro day. And a texter texted in and said, good, if they are all there, then we fire them all when it's the wrong pick. And we started having this conversation yesterday. We didn't mean to have this conversation. It just happened naturally about this sort of defeatist attitude that Titans fans have right now. And I completely understand why you have that defeatist attitude. I was listening to Stillman and Company on my drive to pick up my son from school, and a caller called in, I believe it was Dylan in Antioch, was talking about how he doesn't trust the Titans to make this pick because of issues in the past with taking, you know, quarterbacks. And Jared rightfully said, you can't blame Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi for Jake Locker. They were not here for that. Exactly. But I do think it speaks to this sort of fatalistic approach that Titans fans seem to be having about the organization right now. And again, I completely understand it. But this is the question I want to ask Derek and then all of you at 615-737-1025. Especially now that we are approaching the NFL draft. Cam Ward had his pro day. He's going to have a private workout with the Titans, TBD. Is there anything the Titans can do this offseason to regain the trust of their fans? Is there anything that can happen between now and training camp that can make Titans fans feel better about the direction of this franchise? That's the question I have for all of you at 615-737-1025. Because on the topic of Cam Ward, we've referenced this story multiple times on this show. Matt Miller of ESPN earlier in March did this story where he polled executives and scouts and other people in the game, and he compiled a list of first-round quarterback prospects between 2020 and 2025 and where they ranked in terms of their pre-draft grade, if I'm not mistaken. And Cam Ward came in at 18th out of 21. The only quarterbacks underneath him that were drafted in the first round since 2020 were Michael Penix, Shedeur Sanders, who wasn't drafted, but he was included in this exercise, and Kenny Pickett. And Titans fans have seen that and have said, you can't draft Cam Ward. Look how low he is compared to other quarterback prospects that have gone in the first round. And I just think that there's going to be a large contingent of Titans fans that if the Titans draft Cam Ward, it's going to be, oh, here we go again. Titans reached. They screwed this up. So I'm just wondering if there's everything, if there's anything. By the way, Dylan in Antioch texted it and said that it was indeed Dylan. See, I listen. I've got good listening skills. So my question is to all of you, is there anything the Titans can do this offseason? And keep in mind, the offseason has already started. So there's been free agency. They've made some changes to the coaching staff. They made a change at GM. Is there anything the Titans can do this offseason to regain your trust? That's my question to all of you, and I'll give it to Derek as well.
And this is the problem, I think. And I'm not going to say that all Titans fans feel as if the inevitable is whoever they draft, let's just say for argument's sake, Cam Ward. So it's inevitable that he's going to be a bust. There are Titans fans that are just resigned to think that. Why? Well, if you look at past drafts, and I'm not even talking quarterbacks, but if you look at past drafts or free agent acquisitions, they've had some you know, not so good players in that span. Okay, but I'm not going to fault this regime for that, nor am I going to fault the regime for drafting Marcus Mariota or drafting any one of these other quarterbacks outside of Steve McNair. That's not this regime's fault. They get an opportunity to reset it. And I think, again, I think they started off on the wrong foot. Because as much as I like Rand Carthon and his staff that he put together, the fact remains is that the guys that you went out and got, some of them, they were hurt when you got them. And that played out the very next season when you got them here. So when people see that, and I think they're attributing really, it's all kind of muddy with the fan base. Now the A.J. Brown stuff, the Caleb Farley stuff, it's like it's all muddy with Rand Carthon and John Robinson and Vrabel, you know, and it shouldn't be, because the bulk of that stuff happened under a different watch, under a different regime. Ram was only here for a year, so there was not much he could have done.
Well, he was here for two.
Well, 2 years. But there was not much that he was doing that the last regime had already done. He was just trying his best to make up for some of the failures that were, and he compounded it at certain positions. So I am not going to, outside of Brinker, because, yes, Brinker should be tied to some of that stuff too, because he was more than likely an instrumental part in some of the things that happened toward the end with players. So I'm not going to leave him out. But if you're just talking Borgonzi and Callahan, then I'm not going to hold them to, you know, what the past regime did. Give them an opportunity, and nothing that I've seen up until this point causes me to believe that they are not trying to do what's best for the organization.
615-737-1025. My question for all of you. Can the Titans do anything this offseason to start repairing your trust in them? Scott is in Hendersonville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I just had to interject. It's not just Titans fans. It's a symptom of fandom in general nowadays with the internet. People, you get caught in negative feedback loops. I mean, Auburn basketball was number one pretty much all year, and you lose a game 24 hours after celebrating clinching the SEC without your point guard, and then you lose another game at the buzzer. And then you lose a game where your opponent hits 93% free throws and you hit 53, and suddenly you're never going to win another game at all. And Jared does the same thing. Jared's one to talk. Jared says the Preds can never draft a forward and that UC Soros can never win a playoff game. So it's not just Titan Gift fans are fatalistic. It's a personality type when you can't tune out the negative feedback and you start to dwell on it. It's just annoying from everybody that does it.
Thanks for the call, Scott. Scott is right. Like, mm-hmm. I am the same way as a sports fan. We tend to overreact to everything. I thought his example of Auburn basketball was a smart one because they entered the NCAA tournament as the number one overall seed. Despite losing three of their final four games, mm-hmm. they were untouchable for most of the season. They lose three of four entering the NCAA tournament. In their first two games, Alabama State hung around in the first half, and Creighton gave them one hell of a game. So I'm sure there are Auburn fans right now that are feeling a little bit iffy about Auburn. But that's mm-hmm. beside the point. I understand what Scott is saying. Mm-hmm. The Titans have also given their fans little to no reason to be trustful of them.
And you're absolutely right about that. That's why I'm not going to fault, I'm not going to sit here and berate the fans that may feel that way. But I just want them to understand that, like, just like being in a relationship, and if somebody asks you to change some things within the relationship and you agree that you're changing them and you see the change that is happening, but you know, things may not be moving as fast as you want, or something may happen that has nothing to do with it, but yet and still you're going to sort of, you're always going to look back to the prior things that happened. Well, I don't think you can get it right because of those things that happen in the relationship. When in actuality, you're showing them that, yes, I am getting it right. That's what the Titans fans are showing. I mean, that's what the Titans, the organization, is showing the fan base, at least from Brinker and Callahan. Y'all want it change in this relationship? In a certain area, we gave you change. We fired the GM. Okay, we reorganized some things. Now you got to give us an opportunity. We've brought in a whole new offensive line, guys that have been playing, guys that we can rely on. So I'm doing some of the things that is being asked of us, but you're still wishing ill on the team? That's the part that. Now, listen, if it doesn't work out, if it comes to, okay, at the end of the day, it doesn't work out, then, hey, that's a part of athletics, whether it be football, basketball, baseball. Everything doesn't work out the way you plan. You may have done everything, crossed every T, dotted every I, but yet and still, it just, a bunch of injuries happen. It just doesn't work out. With guys that have been nothing but available, now all of a sudden they get injured. Stuff like that, you don't plan for. It's like you can't. How can you plan for that when these guys that you brought in have played 99% of the games last season? So outside of that, it's like I think what Borgonzi is doing and what Callahan is doing, they're trying to go opposite of what the organization was doing prior to the change. And that's a good thing. They went out and got guys they felt was available on the offensive line, so they're beefing up the offensive line. Okay, then when he got some other players, you know, may not be marquee players, but then when he got some other players, reliable players, guys that we know are going to be on the field. So if that's what you're asking them to do, go get more of those players and then some playmakers, then, you know, let it play out first. That's all I got to say. Let it play out.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction. Is there anything the Titans can do or have done this offseason that will help them regain your trust? Because this Cam Ward pick, assuming it's Cam Ward, it looms large. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.